Thank you, Greg, for reading. What a joy it is to listen to God's word. Please keep your Bibles open as you'll be looking at it, but allow me to pray before we start. Heavenly Father, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and humble hearts ready to obey your word. In your Son's name, amen. God wants you to be blessed. Yes, you've heard it right the first time. God wants you to be blessed. And that's not all. If you look here at verse 1, the word blessed can also be translated as happiness. So you could say that God wants you to be happy. He wants your life to be infused with joy and satisfaction. He wants you to flourish, to thrive, to prosper. God wants you to be blessed. Let that thought sink in for a moment. How does that make you feel? Is it excitement? Lord, shower me with your blessings. Or is it indifference? Or thanks, but no thanks. I've already got my life sorted out. Maybe it's skepticism. Can living as a Christian really bring blessings? Well, how can that be the case when we live in a world that calls us narrow-minded, outdated, and intolerant? That would be a fair question to ask. Or hey, maybe your instinctive response is, oh no, our new student minister is a prosperity gospel preacher. But regardless of how you feel or how eager you might be to drag me off the lectern, the fact remains that it is true. Just look at how the psalm begins. Blessed is the man. You can't get any clearer than that, can you? This psalm is all about blessedness. More importantly, it's about who gets to enjoy God's blessing. Friends, do you want God's blessing in your life? If so, then here's the secret. There are two ways to live, but only one of them leads to the blessed life. Two ways to live, but only one of them leads to the blessed life. Let's start with the negative example first. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Growing up, I was taught not to mix with the wrong crowd. And in a sense, that's what's going on here. The psalmist says you have a choice on how you want to live your life. First option, you can choose to live like the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers. It's by no means recommended, but, well, if you want, you could. But of course, why would you? The life of the wicked does not lead to blessing. So don't have anything to do with it. But here's the problem. When we hear wicked, we think murderers, adulterers, cheaters, liars, lawyers, politicians. But listen to what the Bible calls wicked. Just one page over in Psalm 10, the psalmist says in verse 4, in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek the Lord. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Further down, verse 13, he continues, the wicked renounces God and says in his heart, God will not call to account. Do you hear what the Bible is saying? These people here, the wicked, the scoffers, the sinners, they are not the usual bad guys we think of. They are the world around us. The world that hates God, that rejects him. The world that says to him, I want nothing to do with you. I live life my way. The way of the wicked, simply put, is the way of those who have rejected God. The way of the wicked is, in fact, the way of the world. And I think that brings the warning in verse 1 much closer to home, doesn't it? Because we are constantly bombarded with the world's advice on how to live the blessed life. And sometimes it's just so tempting to listen to them. Because when the world says, do what you want to make yourself happy, well, it's easy to think, isn't it, that maybe I'll just entertain that lustful thought when no one is in the bedroom. Maybe it won't hurt if I date that non-Christian girl. When the world says, find your success and identity in your career, well, maybe they're right. I'll work hard, I'll climb the corporate ladder, make a name for myself, earn big bucks, and well, if it gets too busy, I guess it won't hurt if I skip church or CDG or my own personal quiet times. The world says, buy the latest gadget, keep up with the latest trends. Trust me, you'll really be happy if you just buy that pair of shoes or go on that holiday or own that model of car. It's so tempting to enjoy the blessed life in the world's eyes. And you know, we sometimes take that advice, don't we? Maybe once, maybe twice, and then more and more and more until we are totally swept away by the world, away from God. Because like it or not, the way of the wicked is built on a series of little compromises. It's worth noting the progression here in Psalm 1, in the first verse. The psalmist says, blessed is the man who walks not, nor stands in, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. This is the picture of a man who started out walking with the world, but as time goes by, he compromises. He starts to stand with them, he takes their position, and eventually he becomes settled in it. He sits with them. He's one of them now. That's the danger. The way of the world is attractive. It reels you in with little promises of the blessed life if you would just compromise a little. And a little. And a little more until it takes us away from God, away from the blessed life. And blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked. Don't listen to the ways of the world, not even once. But here is the better alternative. That is the way of the word, the way of the word. Look at what the psalmist says. Blessed is the man who, verse 2, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Friends, the real secret to a blessed life is to be someone who finds joy in God's law, or as the ESV footnotes it, in God's instruction. Back then, it referred to the Old Testament, but for us today, it refers to the Bible. The blessed man is the one who delights in God's word. The blessed man is the one who delights in God's word. You can almost imagine, can't you? This man, he jumps out of bed every morning, all excited to read the Bible. You know, and as he opens it, a smile forms unconsciously on his face. He just can't help it. He loves to read God's word. It leaves him refreshed and ready for the day ahead. And well, he doesn't stop there. For the rest of the day, he spends hours, day and night, meditating on the Bible. Nowadays, I think meditation can be a bit of an unhelpful word. When we hear meditation, we sometimes think of religious groups secluded in mountains, fasting and sitting in silence. Or maybe we think of monks mindlessly chanting scripture. But that's not what the Bible has in mind. When we think meditation, we ought to think cow. Have you ever seen a cow eat? All they do is chew and chew and chew on that same clump of grass until all the goodness is extracted. Likewise, the man who, the one who delights in God's word will chew on it again and again and again until all the goodness of God's word is extracted. Meditating, reflecting, praying over it day and night. That is the way of the word. That is the way of the blessed man. Friends, we have a choice. There are two ways to live, but only one of them leads to the blessed life. You can choose the way of the wicked, listening to their lies, chasing after the world. But why would you do that? Their promises are empty. They cannot bring you blessing. They will not make you happy. Don't walk in the way of the wicked. But if you truly want the blessed life, if you are eager to experience true joy, well, then walk. Walk in the way of the word. Grow in your delight of God's word. Soak your life in the riches of it. Think over them day and night. Let me paint a picture of what that could look like for us. This is by no means prescriptive. They are not laws for us to obey. But if we want to be taking verse 2 seriously, then I want us to start thinking about how it might look like for us to be meditating on God's word day and night. For example, why not wake up a little bit earlier each day? You could start small, just 10 minutes. Read the Bible, reflect, pray. And then as you brush teeth or take a shower, you can try to memorize a key verse of the passage. When you commute to work, you can listen to a Christian podcast, a sermon, or even just the audio Bible. You can put a post-it on your desk, a little reminder of what you have read in the morning. Maybe over lunch, you can share with someone what you read earlier. On your way home, you can listen to Christian music. After dinner, for those of us with families, maybe you can set aside time to have Bible time together as a family. Over the week, you can study the Bible with someone one-to-one. You can come prepared for CDGs and home groups ready to discuss the Bible. You can start a reading group, a meeting fortnightly, monthly, to discuss a Christian book. You can draw, you can paint, you can run while listening to something, or the list goes on and on and on. But whatever it is we choose to do, as we meditate on God's word, friends, I'm really sure that we will grow in our enjoyment and in our delight of it. Again, I must stress that these are suggestions, not laws. But wouldn't it be good if we listen to what verse 2 says? Because the blessed man is the one who delights and meditates on God's word. But maybe you're still sitting there thinking, well, I'm still not so sure if the way of the word is any good. Frankly, the way of the world, that feels far more attractive. And that's a lot that you're asking me to give up. Well, to make sure that we make our choices rightly, the psalmist helps us to feel why it's so, so good to be a man of the word. And point two, he gives us two spiritual realities. I'll take a look at verse 3. He, that is the man of the word, is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. The psalmist borrows two pictures from the agricultural world, and he says, look, you have two options for what your life could look like. First, if you are a man of the word, then you are presently like a solid tree Imagine the biggest tree you can think of, large branches extending up towards the heavens, thick with vibrant green leaves, filled with ripe, juicy fruits ready to be plucked and eaten. A tall, massive trunk to support the weight of your dense foliage. A giant roots anchoring you into the soil, unshakable and steady. Watered by the crystal clear river nearby, lovingly tended to by the gardener who planted you there. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Wouldn't that be an awesome way to describe your life? Well, the amazing thing is that could be you. A planted, irrigated, well-provided, secure, blooming, flourishing, thriving, fruitful, prosperous, enduring, living, eternal, successful, triumphant, victorious. It's almost impossible to believe, but that could be you. If we turn from the way of the world to the way of the Word. You see, this blessing is only for people of the Word. Now, in contrast, the man of the world, he is like chaff. Do you know what chaff is? They are husks of grain, dry skin covering the seeds which are separated at the threshing floor and thrown away, even burnt. No one wants chaff. And yet, if we insist on living like people of the world, that's who we are, according to the Bible. Dry, rootless, empty, weightless, useless, worthless, discarded, burnt, dead. Always chasing after the world, the next promotion, the next gadget, the next house, the next car, the next holiday, the next fashion. Always trying to find happiness from success, from recognition, from love. And yet, ultimately, always empty inside. Carried away by every whim and fancy and wind of doctrine. Useless to our Creator. That's who we are if we continue to live as people of the world. Dry chaff or a solid tree, which would you rather be? The choice is obvious, right? A man of the word is so much better. You know, he's not marginally better than a man of the world, you know, and he's certainly not worse. To be a man of the word is far, far, far better than it is to be a man of the world. You know, granted, it's true that as a Christian, we might never be rich. But you know what? As a Christian, you already have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's true that as a Christian, you might never enjoy the joys and pleasures of this world as some might do. But you know what? As a Christian, you have already experienced the best this world has to offer, a relationship with the living God, a relationship which you can partake in anytime, anywhere, as you listen to Him speak through His Word. And as a Christian, as those who have already received forgiveness of our sins through the Lord Jesus, as we come to His words, brothers and sisters, are we already not those who have tasted what true joy is? You know, it's true that as a Christian, we might be afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, even struck down. But in the very midst of all of that, we are a flourishing tree, bearing fruits of perseverance and righteousness and godliness and gospel advance. We are a vibrant tree filled with immortal, imperishable life that comes from the living Word of God. We are a triumphant tree, victors over sin and death, standing tall and proud not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done for us on the cross. My brothers and sisters, isn't it so good to be a man of the word, to be someone who delights in it? Now, don't you want it for yourself? If you want the truly blessed life, the truly happy life, well, then choose the way of the word. And finally, this blessing is not only what we enjoy presently, but it's also what we will have in the future. Point three, two destinies. I'll take a look at verse 5. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Bible is clear that one day judgment will come. Jesus will return and he will hold every one of us into account. For our every thought, our every deed, held under scrutiny to the highest standard. For the way we've treated each other, but more importantly, for the way we have treated God. And here the psalmist doesn't mince his words. If on that day we are found to be people of the world, if we find ourselves among the wicked, well, then the only outcome is to be found guilty. That's what verse 5 means. The wicked will fall under the weight of their condemnation. God will not let them get away, not after they've spent their entire lives rebelling and rejecting him. There will be wrath, there will be judgment, and it will lead to death. Verse 6, the way of the wicked will perish. You see, God's judgment, it's eternal separation from him, the God who gives life. Unending death, well, that is the destiny of the men of the world. No escape, only death. But look at what happens to people of the word. The psalmist implies that they are the righteous, and unlike the people of the world, they will stand on that final judgment day. The wicked and sinners will fall, but the righteous, those who delight in the Lord and in his word, they will be found blameless. Verse 6, the Lord will even know them personally, intimately, like a close friend. You know, it's not that people of the word are any less deserving of judgment, as though somehow they have met God's standards by their good behavior. No, on their own, the people of the word also deserve God's judgment. After all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's standards. All of us have at some point chosen the way of the wicked. Even as a Christian now, I'll be the first to admit that I'm still prone to giving in to temptation. None of us can live the perfect life of the blessed man. Well, except one man, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh, who as a child was found in the temple, delighting in God's Word. And as a man, he perfectly resisted temptation by wholly trusting in the words of God. Jesus is the ultimate blessed man, the only obedient son. And through him, we are made righteous. And through him, we share in his blessings. You see, Jesus is why we as people of the word can stand on judgment day. Because as we meditate on God's words, we are led to our Lord Jesus, the blessed man. In him there is refuge. In him there is forgiveness of sins. In God's words, we meet the Lord Jesus, who restores our broken relationship with God. The great preacher Spurgeon puts it this way: as we read the Bible, we find rivers of pardon and rivers of grace, rivers of promise and rivers of communion, that is, relationship with Christ, rivers that are never-failing sources of supply. That is the destiny of a man of the Word: forgiven, vindicated, restored, enduring to eternal life. Friends, all of us have a choice to make. Will you continue to choose the way of the wicked world, a life that is empty, useless, and ultimately condemned to the fire of God's judgment? Or will you choose the way of the Word, a life of true blessing, true flourishing, true happiness, a life that submits to the words of King Jesus, and in so doing, finds forgiveness at the cross? Well, it really is a no-brainer. Choose life. Choose the way of the righteous. Choose to come to the risen Savior who has the words of eternal life, and meditate on it day and night as you delight in his good words. Why don't I pray for us? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Father, we thank you that you continue to speak to us every day through your word. Thank you that we are blessed spiritually as we meditate upon it, because your word gives life and it restores our broken souls. Well, help us, Father, to always sit under your word, to make that our priority. Help us to delight in the goodness of your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.